Podcast. I'm Lance Carter. So I've interviewed a lot of young actors, and I gotta be honest, most of them aren't too impressive. With the exception of Shiloh Fernandez and one or two others, most come off as just kind of complete tools. Kind of like they're just acting to get famous, and they're just doing me a favor when I interview them. You know what I mean? Just completely irks me. But I'm happy to say that my guests today are the exact opposite of that. Alden Ehrenreich and Alice Englert are the stars of the new film Beautiful Creatures, and they are both charming and funny and smart, and they love being actors. The film also stars Jeremy Irons, Viola Davis, Emma Thompson, and Emmy Rossum, and it's based on the best-selling series of books Beautiful Creatures. Both actors more than hold their own with the cast of top-notch actors, and I really do hope it's a hit. They both deserve it. In this interview, we talk about how they got their parts, working with the cast, some of their worst auditions, their advice to actors, and vomit. Yep, there's some talk about vomit happening. You guys are going to enjoy it. Not just the vomit part, but the whole thing. I really do appreciate it when you support the advertisers. Every little click does help. Also, do you need a website? Every actor needs one, and Daily Actor is here to help. We do custom websites that are affordable and won't kill your bank account. We also sell casting director mailing labels and have a great actors resource page. Check that out, and also be sure to take a look at our other interviews on dailyactor.com. And now, here's Alden and Alice.
All right.
Those are interesting. I haven't seen these before.
They're like microphone attachments?
Yeah.
So you get better quality.
Yeah, and you know, I used to have a different one, and the very first time I interviewed somebody, it was a casting director.
Right.
And, so I came home and uploaded it to my computer, and it was just 20 minutes of silence.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so that's why I got to.
Oh, that's rough.
Yeah,
that's
it. Wasn't good.
They have quite a good recording thing on the iPhone, actually.
Yeah. My girlfriend has an iPhone, but I'm Android.
Yeah.
So
I have a not smartphone.
Really?
Like a little flip phone.
Do you really?
Is it pink?
No.
I don't know. Actually, I think that you just projected that I had a pink flip phone when I was.
How do you survive without a non-smartphone?
It's fun.
Really?
What did you do 3 years ago? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, I think I'd go nuts if I just.
I know, but that's the thing. Is like I'm totally fine. It feels like that. It feels like, oh my god, what am I doing? But then you do it, and it just, I feel so much more present and like.
It's true.
I'm always on my phone. I used to feel like I had this Death Star in my pocket that was constantly waiting for me to do all these other things, no matter what I was doing.
Yeah.
So getting the day I got the phone, I always felt like. I felt I had like a 3-hour dinner, and I didn't think twice about it.
Yeah. I'm the same way. I'm like always on Twitter and just like madness.
Yeah, it's tough. It's especially like to me, like so much of like our jobs is to kind of stay present and stuff like that. So it's
But what people think of as staying present now is such a different thing. Like someone was referencing being like, oh, I'm not online. I feel unpresent.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
that's cool. You know? Who said that?
I can't remember, but God. I heard them, and anyway, them we would say it anyway. But
like when you guys are on set, do you you just put your phones away and just don't even worry about it?
Well, I leave my phone in my trailer.
Yeah.
I don't bring the phone to the trailer. There's some people who really don't do that.
Oh,
on this film, but like certain actors will bring their phone and be on it until the moment you start. Which you know,
I just don't
teaches
have that
them,
many friends.
Cool.
You know, it's the truth. You know, it's like, oh, there's a solitaire.
Uh-huh.
Right.
I don't have Twitter, I don't have Facebook, I don't have any of that stuff.
Yeah.
And
it's also easy. Yeah, sorry.
It just makes me, I'm so much happier.
Yeah.
Happier than when I did, I only ever had Facebook and, you know, but it was such a part of my generation and, you know, people say, how do you keep in contact with your friends? It's like, well, I call them, I email them, and if I really like them, I find ways of being with them,
right.
You know?
Yeah, right.
You guys are probably on like this whirlwind press tour.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you guys going next, and how long up until the very like opening day? Or
not exactly.
Yeah.
We drive to LA tonight. We have a day off. We go to San Francisco. We come back. We have a 3-day junket in LA. We go to the movie comes out. I vomit.
Yeah.
Not because of the movie, just because of the. Finally, I can kind of go. and then we go to the vomit comment is not about the movie.
No,
clarification.
No. I've seen it.
Okay, good. Good. And then we go to New York, and then Mexico City.
Mexico City, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Mexico.
Yeah.
I've only been to one place in Mexico, but I'm very excited to go to Mexico City.
I've been to Tijuana.
Yeah. Oh, yeah? Really? Yeah, no. You, like, can't even go to Tijuana.
Not anymore. You get your head cut off.
Right. Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. Oh, it's so dangerous. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. How did you guys get involved in the movie? I know you have a crazy story about you like read in the morning and then you're on a plane.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So can you guys tell me about that?
Yeah. I was cast second in the film. I was approached 3 times before I got an email from the producer saying, would please come in and talk to us. I've produced all of these films. These films are impressive films. And I was like, oh, all right. Yeah, okay. But I wasn't interested at first because I thought that they, for one, wouldn't be interested in me or the way I would want to play something like this. And I hadn't read the script, so which is not a great idea when you say no to things. And I went in and I talked to them, and then I read the script, and I went, oh my God, I'm silly. I really want to do this now. And I did one audition, and then I got a call at midnight and that I had the role.
Wow, one audition. Nice.
Yeah. And then I got into it really late in the game, and there wasn't somebody playing my part, like, really close to when we started shooting. And I went in and had a meeting, and I came in, and I had originally also passed on auditioning for it in the first round. Because of, I think, similar reasons. We just, neither of us read the script, and we thought of it. We just got, like, kind of the worst version pitch of what it was, and then went in and auditioned and got the part, and I got the part, at 8 in the morning, and then at 4 in the afternoon I was on a plane to Louisiana, and a week later we started shooting, so I had a week to prep and learn the Southern drawl.
Wow. So when you went in that morning, had you already read the script, or did you just get a bunch of sides?
No, I read the script, and then I said, oh my God, I really wanted to do it. Within 3 pages, I knew I wanted to do it, because my character narrates the film, and in the opening narration, I just could feel what his point of view was. I could feel, I just had chemistry with that character. And so then I read the script, and then went in and worked on the sides.
Yeah, because the opening of the film, then, like, a couple minutes, like, with your narration and the way it opens up, you just begin to get thrown into that world.
Yeah, and I think you really get, like, my character's point of view from that narration. That's, like, one of Richard's. Actually, the narration is something we changed a million times.
Oh, yeah?
I recorded the opening narration, I think, 8 times. And Richard,
it was good, though.
Richard kept rewriting it and all this stuff. And then the final narration was, like, the very last one, and I worked at night on it and then went in and... Yeah.
Nice. So now, Alice, for your role, it's got, like, a lot of mythology attached to it.
Yeah.
Did you, how'd you, I guess...
Prepare?
Yeah, for that. I mean, did you, like, talk to Richard or talk to the author?
Yeah, me and Richard did a lot of back and forth. We emailed a lot. I like a lot of visual references to my characters. I love trolling through photos, finding atmospheres, things that... actually, just trying to figure out what they might like, what they're attracted to. And music as well was always really important. I wanted to, because her powers are so influenced by her emotions, and I wanted to find out what emotionally would trigger her, which would then obviously trigger the weather patterns. And so we went through a lot of that and came up with strange little anecdotes that, you know, no one will ever know about, but that made huge differences to me, is the way I would play her and the way the sort of stigma that she has, that she carries around with her from town to town, in what is dangerous, what's not dangerous, where she has to control herself, etc., etc.
This film's obviously being compared to Twilight.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one huge difference is that no disrespect to them, but the huge, the amazingly talented cast.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys were fantastic, and then you guys got you know,
we
Jeremy Irons.
Pretty okay backing. Yeah.
My lord. Like when you do your first scenes with them, are you intimidated or excited or like?
I was nervous when I got. Actually, the first person I worked with was Viola Davis, and our first day working together, we did two of our main scenes together. I have scenes with all of them, with Emma and Viola.
And on your own.
And
on
my own, yeah. And that day, I woke up with food poisoning.
Oh.
And so I was in this 90 degree heat in a Civil War wool uniform.
Which makes food poisoning even better.
Right, and speaking of vomiting, running to the bathroom between all the takes. Uh-huh. So I was nervous, but you know what? That was one of my worst fears that that would happen.
Yeah.
And you can't really call in sick. So, unless you're, you know, a big star, probably. But
it's kind of good that your worst fear didn't
exactly.
Happen.
Like, now I know I got through it. You know, I got through it and didn't screw up the movie.
It's so funny because I actually remember the night before you
oh, my God,
Thomas,
I ate this fish thing.
Coming to sit in the warehouse courtyard where we were all staying and saying, Alden just going, this is great. Uh-huh. This is so
there's a restaurant called El Gato Negro, Black Cat, and don't go there. Don't needed the black
you
cat.
Sure it was fish, not cat?
Huh?
You sure it was fish, not cat?
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
What, that it could have been.
It was catfish, actually.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, I hate catfish.
It was about four different kinds of fish in a sauce, and it wasn't very Anyway, so working with them, you know, it's to me it's exciting, and luckily all three of them were so approachable. Yeah, I know. We're so approachable.
Three times a charm. Do you have a vomit story next?
Right.
You know, I'm working on it, but I'm trying to conjure something.
Yeah, I have some bad ones.
Some really bad ones.
But never mind. So I, but when you're working with, luckily, Emma and Jeremy and Viola were so approachable and so supportive of us, just incredibly supportive of us, that working with them just felt like they were almost taking care of you with how talented they were.
Yeah.
It kind of brought you to, it's like playing tennis in somebody, with somebody that's better than you. Not that I've ever played tennis.
Yeah.
But it's really, it was really great. And then we would go and watch their scenes, even if we weren't in them, because it was like free acting class, you know, and you get to see how they come to those kind of amazing performances that they've all done in the past.
We got to watch that church scene, and that was so fun.
That was great.
Yeah, like when Jeremy Irons comes out, his very first scene, and he comes out on the veranda.
Oh,
and he says,
with the mad book under his arm?
Yeah, and he says that one, like, three words, and he's like, well, there you go. That's why you hire him.
Right, exactly. You know? Exactly.
Actually, I really love that scene with you and him and in the living room for the first time. You're so uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah. And it's with the speech and stuff?
Well, no, when,
you're
when,
out of focus in that. Your close-up is out of focus. Isn't that weird? It's weird, I know. But your Jane Austen line, which is one of my favorite jokes in the movie, and you're out of focus.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
anyway, not to call attention to the flaws. Yeah.
So what was the hardest scene for you guys to shoot?
Yeah,
I think the food poisoning one.
Well, there you go. Yeah, yeah.
Actually, when I would go to do it, it wouldn't be that bad. I'm trying to think of.
I found the dining room scene pretty tedious.
That was that looked crazy.
I loved it, but I hated doing that scene.
That was easy for me. I didn't have any. Was that were you really like spinning?
Yeah, they built the whole. Well, Richard didn't want to do CGI very much, so he really built this whole set with the spinning table and this underneath it. The floor would go like this. And the chandelier was going back and forth, and then so the table's moving this way, and the floor is moving this way, and everything's just falling off the table.
Yeah, actually, I was very intimidated by the acting weight in that scene because you know you had Margaret Martindale, you had Eileen Ackerman, and Jeremy, and then Emmy and me have to do this whole thing, and then have to act while being strapped to poles while flying around a room, and it just felt stressful. It was stressful. At the same time, it was really exciting because it was something that pulling it off was sort of needed to happen. We needed to pull. That wasn't really. we could cut.
How long did that scene take to shoot?
3 days.
Yeah. Wow. So was it really going like fast? Or like,
there was a four at one.
People
stage,
were taking nausea medicine.
Yeah, I would.
People were getting hit by stuff, and then a fork got stuck in.
A fork flew off the table and lodged right in the on the axe, like in the wedge between where the turntable and everything like went in on this fork. That was really crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, speaking of vomit, if I had to do that, I'd completely vomit.
Wow. Let's come back to vomit in every single question. Make this movie really appealing to people.
Richard, the director, I know we didn't take nausea pills, but I know he took nausea pills for being in Video Village watching us.
Right. I'll just create a separate page for vomit.
Vomit references.
Yeah.
I think it's a good thing to bring up because Ethan does go through a lot.
I went through a lot.
You were the most charming, sick guy in film, young, I don't know, whatever.
In the genre. I also cut my hand open.
Oh, yeah, you
I
cut
went
your
through
hand
some wild
open.
Stuff, yeah.
How'd you
and
do that?
You called me heaps of times, and I was like, oh, he's late. You know,
right. We were going to watch a movie, and then I was trying to separate two burgers, and I...
Not just burgers, I want to say veggies.
Ah.
He ate burgers the whole time.
Right.
He made me feel like such a not proper actor. He was eating good. He was like,
that was very healthy. It didn't do me much good. I still got food poisoning. I kind of manifested my fears.
What are your nightmare auditions? What's the, like,
crazy worst audition that I went to, and it was with a huge director with a huge writer for a huge movie.
Uh-huh.
And I went in, and I was nervous. And the guy, I sat down, and I guess he directs like this, but he sat down and said, "Okay, so with this line, it's and basically paraphrased things." But what he was paraphrasing it under the auspices of explaining it, he was basically just doing line readings of how he wanted me to do it, and went through the entire scene of exactly how he wanted it, and then at the end of it, went, "Okay, now do that."
Now you.
Yeah, and I was like, it was just like every thing I thought I was gonna do went out the window, which can be a good thing. But with this, I was just like so in my head trying to live up to exactly what he had told me. And at the end of it, that I started shaking, and then that was awful. And then I left, and they were like, "Good job." And I was like, "I know it wasn't." No, and I said that, and then I left. And then, you know, and then I got the part.
No.
Just kidding. I didn't get the part at all.
The audition that sort of cracked me up the most when I got the sorry Australian term made me laugh the most. When I got the pages,
cracked you up is a
that's oh you say
a,
it
we
did?
Say that okay. Yeah, we say that.
Was when I was got sides for Eve in the Garden of Eden. She with lots of references to the nudity.
Oh, really?
It was just...
Do they make it?
The sensual way she bites the apple as the snake caresses her, and I just, like, was laughing so hard because it was just like... I was just wondering, like, how do you do that? Like, acting, playing Eve to the snake, like, having someone sensuously biting the apple. Just like, man, whoever was... You know, reviewing those auditions must be having a ball, but I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
What's your advice to actors?
Act. If you want to be an actor, I think the worst thing to do is just is. Well, no. I mean, that's.
Yeah, no, I don't.
I mean,
you do a lot of stuff on your own.
Yeah. In terms of a lifestyle, the worst thing is that there's so. It's hard. You know, writers can write every day, painters can paint every day, actors, you get into this thing of, oh, well, I can't act right now because I don't have a job. No one else hired me. And you become a waiter actor, not like a waiter, but like just waiting. And if you aren't acting, like to me, the times where my career has gone best is where I was already doing it. It's like that's the people that you're drawn to are the people who already have it going on, who aren't just waiting for you to provide them with that opportunity. So to me, these people, and they're so, and I was one of them for a long time of like actors who aren't getting jobs or aren't getting auditions or whatever it is. I think the best way to make that energy start working for you is just to find ways where you can be acting, and whatever happens, the gods of acting just see that, and something happens and you end up, other people start seeing you. But if you're not doing it already, you're not gonna, like, more leads to more. And good leads to good. So it's, I think that's the most important thing. It's just don't sit around waiting for a job. Like,
yeah.
Rent a
don't
theater.
It,
or, like, do a play in your backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Or just invite friends over to read a play. Like, me and my friends do that a lot. And it just, it promotes that energy, and that energy only builds. But you have to get the, you have to start the, engine, you know.
Yeah. I think the best advice I ever got was, stop trying to do something. Just be in the scene. Just say the lines. Start with just saying the lines. And I think that that's very important. That and breathe. As soon as you start trying to make an impression on somebody, you stop being real and you stop doing a good job and you start trying to manipulate people. People know when you're manipulating them. They can feel it and it's not interesting. That's why you can be watching someone in a bus shelter. They're probably not doing anything at all. They're just sitting there. And it's fascinating. You know, because it's real. And I think that is the most important thing in acting. Don't try and make drama. Because if it's there, it will happen. I saw Jonah Hill and Brad Pitt do a talk on Moneyball. And they someone was asking Jonah Hill how the transition from doing comedy to drama was, and how did he approach different roles. And he said, I approach them the same way, because if something is dramatic, it's dramatic. If it's funny, it'll be funny. So don't try to do things, just find where it's real. Find whatever, just find where something is real.
Yeah.
That's why even when you're playing a witch, find the real moment and somehow you believe it. It's believability that counts then. If you find that, just hold, keep to that, and the rest happens somehow.
Thanks, guys, and thank you for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from film, TV, and theater, and so much more. Thank you once again for supporting the advertisers. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.